Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath. A big thanks to the Borealis String Quartet for playing the prelude and the postlude this morning for us. And it is with great honor that I get to share with you our speaker, of course, is Dean Walland. I know many of you are here specifically to hear him, and we are excited that he has agreed to speak this morning. We will begin our service by standing and singing hymn number 632 in your red hymnal. 632. Please stand. Let us pray. O God, we watch this morning for the light that the darkness has not overcome. We watch for the fire that was in the beginning and that burns still in the brilliance of the rising sun. We watch for the glow of life that gleams in the growing earth and glistens in sea and sky. We watch for your light, O God, in the eye of every living creature and in the ever-living flame of our own souls. If the grace of seeing were ours this day, we would glimpse you in all that lives. Grant us the grace of seeing this day. Grant us the grace of seeing. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Good morning, everyone. The Wallen family made a visit to Gustavus on a late Sunday afternoon in the fall of 1967. It was my junior year in high school and time to check out college campuses. On our walk toward Christ Chapel, several students passed by in front of us. On their way to dinner, we suspected. Of course, the chapel was inspiring. The stained glass windows lit up as the sun poured from the west. We all commented that it reminded us of the Air Force Academy chapel, which we had seen on a recent family vacation to Colorado. We returned to the car as more students crossed our path. My mother commented that the stop at Gustavus, though brief, was very different from the other colleges we had visited. I agreed. The difference was that everyone we encountered said hello to us. Today, I think back to that moment in time that set in motion my 47-year journey at Gustavus. I take you back to the summer of 1961. My grandfather, Nystrom, had built a small cabin near Cross Lake, Minnesota. Our family packed in the fun at the cabin. We fished and swam, caught minnows, and roasted hot dogs at the beach. Of course, church on Sunday morning was mandatory. And since the Presbyterian Church was 40 miles away in Brainerd, we became summer Lutherans. One Sunday that summer, a new pastor arrived. He was pretty cool. He made a Bible study come to life for an 11-year-old kid. The next summer, he was gone. On September 4, 1968. Now a freshman student at Gustavus, I joined my new classmates at the opening convocation in Christ Chapel, and to my surprise, the chaplain was Richard Q. Elvey, my friend, the pastor from Cross Lake Lutheran. And all was good. As they say, 4 years, 4 wonderful years at Gustavus fly by very quickly. Well, commencement day arrived, and Chaplain Elvey is delivering the baccalaureate homily. I share his lasting words with you. Augustus, it's time to leave this little college on the hill. For Gustavus has been a home to you for 4 years. And though you don't realize it in your haste to go just now, you are leaving a home. And you will be back to this home, whether in the body or in the spirit, all your life. For the little college is a special kind of home, a mystical home that was, yet never was. It was your homeland, kingdom of identity, keeper of dreams and expectations? What was it we sought here? What was the vision? What fair and gracious, beautiful thing did we dream? The meaning of life? The conscience of history? Blessedness? The kingdom of light and of God? O Odyssey! O Faust! O Jesus! O shining world of nature! O Gustavus! O brave new world! Amen.
I spent that summer working with summer program staff and applying to seminary. In August, Owen Samuelson, director of admissions, asked me if I would consider joining the admissions staff. The job was mine. I didn't take the call to seminary. I decided to take the call to Christian higher education. By definition, a calling is a strong inner urge to follow a profession, a purpose, a vocation, especially one believed to be divinely inspired. I chose the right call. Gustavus was the right place for me to be. Friends, I have been blessed over the past four decades with countless mentors, individuals of this Gustavus community who gave unselfishly of themselves so that I might grow in my profession, have opportunity to accomplish my life goals, live out my dreams and expectations, and find wholeness and satisfaction in life. As I look back to my college years, John Kendall in psychology and Gerhard Alexis English and Jack Clark in religion were but a few who launched my academic pilgrimage. And my spiritual pilgrimage was guided by the likes of Bob Esbjornsson in religion, Paul Allwort in music, and the young Chaplain Elvie. Ren and Sylvie Anderson, Cees Eckhoff, Owen Samuelson, Bob Peterson, Evelyn Young, and Elaine Brostrom are some of the Gustavus greats, men and women of vision and conviction that shaped my professional life here at Gustavus. The late Edgar M. Carlson, president of Gustavus, who in his first chapel address as college president in the fall of 1944, set the tone for his administration, noting that every teacher, student, administrator and staff member will leave his or her mark upon the school. For Gustavus is a living thing, and life responds to life. This life together, which is Gustavus, is made up of lives that minister to one another. For we contribute to its life, not by dominating it, but by serving it, by weaving the single thread of our own lives into the fabric of our common good. Gustavus is people, individually evolving, seeking and contributing, searching for answers and directions, meeting failures and successes, sharing with and through one another, dreaming, believing, expressing and creating, continually experiencing, living. I will be retiring in a couple of months, and what a rich life I've experienced here since 1968. I've come to know thousands of alumni, met with the King and Queen of Sweden on their visits to Gustavus. I've had the privilege of hosting dozens of Nobel laureates and distinguished scholars, served with 8 Gustavus presidents. I've escorted 1,500 plus Gustavus choir members across the United States and 18 world countries. And I've worked for 20 years with the great women of the Gustavus Library Associates. And I have truly treasured the myriad of wonderful friends and colleagues I have come to know, and I treasure you each and every day. I close with, Dean, it's time to leave this little college on the hill. For Gustavus has been a home to you for 47 years. And to this home you will be coming back, whether in the body or in the spirit, for the rest of your life. Gustavus has been your homeland, Dean, your kingdom of identity, your keeper of dreams and expectations. Oh, Gustavus. Amen.
Please stand as we continue by singing hymn number 783. 783.
For the morning light and its irresistible dawning, for your untamable utterances of life in boundless stretches of space and the strength of the waves of the sea, we give you thanks, O God. Release in us the power of your Spirit, that our souls may be free and our spirits strong. Release in us the freedom of your Spirit, that we may be bridled by nothing but love, that we may be bridled only with love. Send us forth with love and peace this day. This is our prayer. We trust it is your desire. Amen.